How do you do?
Come with us, won't you? We'll meet a young man who grew up in a fine home, went to church every Sunday, and wanted to be a successful engineer. But like so many young people growing up in the 1960s, he ran into problems. First, alcohol. Then a loss of interest in life itself, until his life and heart and mind were unshackled.
Hey, hi, Peppy. How's it going?
Hey, kid.
Man, we got a pile of dishes tonight.
You're late.
I've been with some friends.
Yeah, don't be doing that, huh? The boss don't like it.
Oh, hey, the guy's got to have a little fun.
I don't like it neither.
All right, so I'm here already. Cool off. There aren't many people out front anyhow. The rest of the night is going to be slow and easy.
Yeah, still work to do.
Hey, cool it, will you? Well, you've been working in the restaurant too long.
Grab a rag there, kid.
Hey, yeah. I got a favor to ask you.
Huh?
Turn the machine on. I don't want anybody to hear.
Huh?
Look, I want to get some booze.
Hey, kid, you're only 16. You can't get no booze.
I can't, but you can.
Sure.
Hey, it's for the guys, Peppy. You want to get a party together this Friday night?
Sure.
Oh, come on. A little beer, a little wine, whatever you can do, huh?
You drink.
Me and the guys.
You like getting drunk on our booze?
Come on. Will you do it? Thanks, man. That's a super. Oh, boy. Will the guys ever be glad to hear about this? Thanks a lot, man.
From Chicago, Crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. Since the doors first opened over 100 years ago, the men and women of Chicago's streets have found help at the old lighthouse. Help includes food, clothing, lodging, and medical and dental care. All are free. Also free is the help offered as counselors show how life can be filled to overflowing. This program reaches out to almost every corner of the world. Unshackled is now heard by more people than ever before. All this happens as some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. Skip Hurd was not what you might call a bad kid. In fact, he went to church schools from first grade to eighth, memorized lots of Bible verses, kept out of trouble. His parents truly cared for him. But all that didn't seem to matter when he finally got into high school and into drinking and other things. And you'll hear about it as we bring you the true story of Skip Hurd, right now on Unshackled.
I always wanted to be a big shot at school. I'd do anything to be number one. I suppose it's because I wasn't much good at anything else. Oh, I could eat. Yeah, Grandpa would always say, "How that boy can eat." It seems like eating was all I could do well. Well, that night when Peppy said he would get the booze for me and the guys, I really got to be a big shot then. We were all under the legal drinking age, of course, so I became the supplier, the source, you might say. And when you're 16 years old and new at a school, that can be pretty important.
Hey, Jack, you see what I see?
Looks to me like a six-pack of fun. And then Skip, too.
Let's investigate.
Guys, look here.
We're looking, and what are we seeing?
What's it look like?
F-U-N.
Hey, I got it at the restaurant from a friend of mine there.
You got any more?
No, but I can get it anytime. That's what he said, anytime.
Well, say, Skip, you're coming to our party Friday night, aren't you?
Yeah. You mean I'm in?
Sure, man, you're in. You're in now.
Let me put it this way. I wanted to be in more than anything else. Now, at Glenbard East High School, west of Chicago, there was one guy who everybody looked up to. That was Andy Morgan. And Andy's best buddy, Jack Berghorst, everybody liked him too. I wanted in with those two guys, and I knew booze could do it.
It sure did.
There were four of us in our little group, and we did everything together. Mostly, get in trouble. Now, don't get me wrong. We never hurt people, like you might think of when you hear about a high school gang. We were just a bunch of guys who hung around together so much that one day we realized that the four of us, Andy, Jack, Kit Stanich, and I, really were a gang.
Look at that turkey. He's got another six-pack.
Well, Skip's a big man now. He can get us booze.
Hey, we make a good team, huh? You get the cars, I get the beards. Jack, what do you get?
He gets all the dates.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, I got some bad news.
Here, have a beer.
It'll make a man out of you.
No kidding. This ain't good.
What, your old man find out about the parties you've been having at your house?
Did he find out? Listen, he found out big.
So what's coming down?
Give me a beer.
Oh, don't tell me he's going to take away your library card for a week.
No, the fact is, I'm going to a military school in Wisconsin until my grades get better and until my friends...
Get lost?
No. No kidding. Wait a minute. No kidding. You really mean it?
Yeah, military school.
Oh.
10 huts.
Oh, bro. Man.
Well, I figure there's only one thing to do.
No. Don't do it, Andy.
No, what I'm thinking of is the biggest party our school ever had.
Yeah, drink to that.
I bet you will. You've been practicing.
Yeah.
What do you mean,
practicing?
Skip here claims to be the biggest chugger in the school.
Hey.
No lie?
Anybody. Anyway, name anybody. I'll put down a pitcher of beer faster than anybody you can name. What, you want to try me?
Give me one of those bottles.
You're on.
Ready?
Set.
So Andy was going to military school because his grades were pretty bad and because his family knew he was heading into trouble, just like the rest of us. But before he left, I was going to prove to him and to everybody else that Skip Hurd was a champ at something. You should have seen me. I would take a pitcher of Coke, open my mouth, and pour it down. Now, Coke burns your throat when you drink it fast. And that's how I built up to being a champion beer chugger. Really, nobody could touch me.
Look at that. 48 ounces in 23.4 seconds. A new world record!
Once in a chugging contest, I was going against another kid at school. We were a little older then because I remember we did it in a bar. At the word go, we both started. When we were done, he turned green and ran into the men's room. Me, I asked for another beer. Yeah, that was a great time. Well, we all managed to get out of high school. Jack went to college in Iowa. Andy somehow got accepted at the University of Northern Colorado. And Kit went into the Army to keep from going to jail. I wanted to be an engineer, so I applied to Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois. I did pretty well, too, until my sophomore year. Then the fraternity started doing drugs. My grades dropped. I lost interest in school, started skipping classes. We did some wild things that year at school. I got so blown away one night that I put a paper bag over my head and streaked through a sorority house. Pretty bad news, huh? Well, sometime later, during summer vacation, I was ready to make some sort of change, but during that summer, nothing changed. All we did was move the party setting to a boat in the river.
We got to get this tug going one more time. Just one more time.
Oh, Andy, you're too caboozled to start anything. We're going to be lost forever on the Illinois River. Say, Andy, I'm quitting Bradley.
Wow. That scared the engine into starting.
I'm cruising down to Dallas, Texas. Lots of sun.
Lots of girls.
Yeah. Well, I'm transferring down. We're going to have some wild times down there, brother. Hey, hey, watch it. That bridge.
Hang on, brother. We're heading for shore.
Yeah, which way is that?
Hey, let's go to the races tonight.
You're so blown away, you'll never make it.
Who's that you speak of, Mr. Hurd?
All right. Okay, the races. To celebrate the new Skip Hurd, new Texas beer chugging champ.
My life didn't straighten out much. I was still getting drunk every weekend, didn't study, met a lot of girls, had some fun. Then at Christmas time, I guess it was really at a New Year's Eve party back home, I met a person who would tell me some things that would change my whole life. I remember that night very well.
Here's the brother Andy, brother Andy, brother Andy. Here's the brother Andy, he's with us tonight.
Come on, pick it up. Oh, picture call.
Hey, what's that guy doing?
Oh, hi
matter? He's drinking a jug of beer, just like we always do when we sing the song.
You mean that song?
Sure. Listen, here's how it works. You see, say Jack, Kit, and I get together, and we want to blow Andy away. We hand him a jug full of beer and start singing the song. Whatever you have in your hand when the guy starts singing, you've got to drink it off.
Well, what if you're full?
It doesn't matter. You still got to drink it. Hey, you want a beer? Come on, I'll get you one.
No, thanks. I don't like it.
What? You don't like beer? Hey, that's like saying you don't like peanut butter. Hey, what's your name?
Mickey. What's yours?
Mouse.
Oh, you must be very talented.
Wait, you really don't drink?
No, huh?
Allergies, eh?
Well, like I said, I don't like it. Oh. I'm a Christian.
Oh, yeah. Well, me too, sort of. Hey, are you with anybody else?
Kind of. I came with Tom.
Well, I'm with Betts. Who cares? Will you come with me to the sleigh ride after the party?
Really? Sure, Mouse.
You really don't drink.
Hey, you two met yet?
Oh, yeah, sure did. Mickey, do you know Andy Morgan?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, come on, Skip. Do your thing for us.
Yeah! Come on. Okay. Give me a beer. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. There ain't no other like this soul, brother. I'm uptight, all right, and clean out of sight. I'm dynamite. They call me Candy Rap because my rap is so sweet. They call me Reynolds Rap because my rap is so neat. They call me Saran Rap because my rap is so tight. And they call me Gift Rap because my rap is so bright. I'm not your meat man. I'm your neat man. I'm not your old man. I'm your soul man. I'm all man.
What a party that was. Oh, Mickey and I went to the sleigh ride, and afterward, she invited all the gang over to her house. That is, to her parents' house. And that was trouble.
Now, listen, Mickey, we like to have your friends over, but we don't want them tearing up the place.
Oh, Dan, I'm sorry. It's getting a little out of hand, but I'll take care of it.
Well, I hope you will. And as far as that fellow you're with, I'd like to meet him sometime when he's sober. If he's ever sober.
Something else happened on that New Year's Eve. I told Mickey that I loved her. Yeah, just like that. I meant it, too, in my own kind of way. Back at Southern Methodist University, life went on as usual, except I still felt the need to be a number one big shot. Oh, Mickey? Oh, sure. I loved her. But that was no reason to stop going out with the girls in Texas and getting blown away with the guys. Oh, I tried getting into stoicism. You know, self-discipline, development, don't let anything ruffle you, but that was a drag. I was getting more depressed all the time. My friends were 1,000 miles away. I was failing at school. I had no meaning or purpose in my life. Something had to give.
And something did give soon after. You'll hear about that in a moment. Now, a word with Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, the subject is the upcoming holiday. I'm talking, of course, about Thanksgiving. We're planning, as usual, a very special dinner for as many of the people of the street as come to us. Is that still right for this year?
It is entirely correct. Again, this year we plan to serve roast turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, cranberry sauce, rolls, coffee, and pie. A special group of volunteers, in addition to our kitchen staff, will be busy serving.
All right, now, they'll be serving, how many people, Harry?
My estimate for the dinner is on the order of 500.
500 is a lot of turkey dinners to serve. Now, the Thanksgiving dinner puts a very large dent in the pantry at the old lighthouse. Because this is true, at this time of year we are very shameless about asking our friends to help out by sending foodstuffs. Those things that can be used on the occasion of Thanksgiving Day and the Thanksgiving dinner will be used. Those that cannot be used on that occasion will be of immense value in the days that follow. After all, Pacific Garden Mission serves meals 3 times a day, 365 days a year. So anything to eat is going to be able to find someone who'll be very happy to have it.
Canned goods, staples, almost anything will be welcomed by our kitchen people as they work to feed the hungry ones who come to us day after day.
So you are invited to send gifts of foodstuffs to Pacific Garden Mission,
Chicago, Illinois, 60605. I'll give you that address again. And if it's going to reach us in time for Thanksgiving, it probably should be on its way very shortly. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Skip was still trying to find meaning in his life when he noticed an announcement of a meeting at Burgess Hall on the SMU campus.
I wasn't interested in hearing the speaker, but Burgess Hall was a girls' dormitory, and I thought I could find a date over there. Oh, was I ever surprised. The speaker was so together that I sat through the whole thing and cornered him when the meeting was over.
That's right, Skip. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. He came the first time to die for our sins, and the second time he's coming for all believers. And after that, it'll be too late.
You know, I've never heard it put quite that way before.
Does it make sense to you?
Oh, sure, but I've grown up in the church. I went to church school till I was in the ninth grade. Okay, I haven't been going for the last couple years now, but, you know, I even know Bible verses by heart.
But now you understand that Christ wants to be your personal Savior. And that's what really counts, not your background, good or bad. We're all in need of personal forgiveness, whether we're churchgoers or drunken louts. We get right with God by trusting in Jesus Christ for our salvation.
Okay, it makes sense.
Will you pray with me now?
Yes, I will.
Let's tell God that you're sorry for your sins, that you want to put all your faith in Jesus Christ to take away the penalty of those sins, and ask God the Holy Spirit to take over your life.
You have to understand something. Up until that night, I was a drinker, and I had a lot of fun with the girls all the time. Now, the morning after that meeting, all that stuff was over. Now, hard to believe? It's true. I had always believed in my head that Christ was the Son of God. But I had never committed myself to him in a personal way. When God took over my life and sent the Holy Spirit into my heart, I felt different. Really different. Well, here I was, a brand new Christian. All my friends were still guzzling and gooning and making it with the girls. And I was like a sponge, ready to discover all I could about the Christian life. I didn't know any Christians, so I tried to meet some of the people connected with the university's theological seminary.
Sure, Skip, I understand the experience you've had.
Yeah, I knew you would. After all, you've spent your life studying the Bible, right?
Of course, Skip. You have to remember that within Christendom, there are many styles and variations.
You mean that some people really mean it when they accept Christ and others don't?
Not quite. I mean that the experience of religious faith can take on many dimensions. As a matter of fact, I happen to know a person who could help you channel your new faith into some really productive avenue.
Oh, I'd be glad to talk with him.
Good. Let me set up an appointment.
I was introduced to another student who seemed like he had his head together on religion. I listened to what he had to say, which, if I can put it in a few words, was that the purpose of all religion was really inner calm, and that for Christianity to be effective for me, I should try to develop the inner dimension, the inner calm he spoke about. Well, I was interested, so I started attending meetings and talking more, and before long, I was into transcendental meditation. Now, the leaders told me that TM was not a religion in itself, but that it simply drew out the full potential of whatever religion you were into. I thought maybe I could teach all the other Christians a thing or two about inner life, so I tried TM.
I'm glad you're here, Skip. I thought for a minute you wouldn't be coming.
Oh, no, I got hung up the apartment. Oh, see, I brought everything you said to bring. Fruit, flowers, and a handkerchief.
Then you realize what you're about to do?
Sure.
Tonight is your initiation ceremony. It'll be the beginning of a broad new life as a meditator. You'll be getting in touch with life itself as you learn to understand the principles of meditation.
I want to know all God has for me.
Oh, yes, there's much to learn, but this is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to enter the room?
Oh, let's have it.
Well, then follow me. And as we enter the room, do not speak. Simply proceed over to the picture on the wall, lay your offering in front of the picture, and kneel. Then I will speak your mantra,
the word that'll put you in touch with life, and you will repeat your mantra several times.
You go in here?
Yes. Now, just go on in.
Wow, somebody really did a job on the incense in here.
No talking, please.
Were you going to put this stuff in front of that guy's picture?
Yes, and then kneel down. Look, I'm not sure about this, Skip. Your mantra is Ein. It's your personal mantra. Now, no one else owns it. So get down on your knees and repeat it several times.
Wait a minute. Couldn't you...
I said get down on your knees.
I didn't come in here to kneel down in front of some guy's picture. I thought we were going to learn meditation.
This is the way. Do it.
I'm not sure.
Just kneel.
I don't think I'd better do that.
Repeat your mantra in front of the picture.
Maybe some other time.
You're not ready, Skip. I got to think this over.
Oh, I was confused. I had been told that TM included all religions, that it would help me in my Christian life. What I found is that TM is a religion in its own right, and that the longer I stayed in it, the longer I was worshiping in a pagan system. I got out. God, the Holy Spirit, would lead me into true inner life. I didn't need chanting and offerings of fruit and flowers. That was my first big test, but I knew a harder test was just ahead. Telling the guys back home, Andy, Jack, and Kit, what had happened to me. How could I expect them to understand?
Hey, Skippy, what are you doing?
Well, I came over to see you, Andy. Mickey and I were just talking about our wedding, and we want you to be in it.
With pleasure, if I can get this car fixed in time.
Yeah. Say, I've been doing a lot of thinking.
That's what Kit's saying. Fact is, he thinks it's weird.
Yeah, well, I've found out where I'm going in life. God has sort of clued me in. I've become a Christian.
Yeah? Well, you'll be glad to know about me, then.
Well, what's happening with you?
Oh, you'll be proud of me, brother.
Well, tell me about it.
All this booze I've been doing?
Yeah?
It's getting me down. Really down. So I turned over a new leaf. Going to do a new thing. Kind of like what you're doing.
You mean you're a Christian, too?
Sure. I started coaching the church basketball team. It's helping a lot.
Well, Andy, that's really not the point. Being a Christian is a commitment to Christ himself. By turning away from the past and all that garbage, admitting you need help, and asking Christ to take over.
I told you, didn't I? I'm getting straighter all the time, getting back into the church. Now ease up.
Andy could get mad quickly, but he always calmed down. It was never a big thing when he blew up. I tried again to talk about my new life with Christ. The guys would listen, then they'd want to go out drinking. They thought my being a Christian was all Mickey's doing. They sort of blamed her for pulling me out of the group. And just like any bunch of good friends, they were determined to make sure I stayed like the old fun-loving Skip they knew. It happened at my bachelor party the night before Mickey and I were to be married.
Look, you fill this jug with booze, really strong stuff, and I'll be walking past Skip and shove it into his hands. Then we'll sing.
Oh, great. Here, this will fix him.
Okay, ready, guys? Here, Skip, hold this.
Here's the brother Skippy, brother Skippy, brother Skippy. Here's the brother Skippy, he's with us tonight. So drink, chug-a-lug, drink, chug-a-lug, drink, chug-a-lug.
I didn't want to do it, drink that big jug of whatever it was, but I didn't want to lose their friendship either, and nobody ever turned down a jug of booze when the guys sang their song. So I downed the whole thing. And the next morning, I had a real hangover. Mickey was hurt, and I was ashamed. But we made it through the wedding, and after our honeymoon, we moved down to SMU and got into a great fellowship group. One of the first things we did was to ask our new Christian friends to pray with us for Andy, Jack, and Kit.
What's the matter, honey?
I've been thinking.
About the guys?
Yeah. I wonder if I ever really made them understand what being a Christian is all about.
No, God is the only one who can really make them understand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just that I love those guys so much. I really love them. I just want them to accept Christ.
Oh, I know. I love them too, Skip.
Well, let's pray for them every day. Never miss.
Boy, it would take a miracle, wouldn't it?
Sure would. Can God do it for them?
Oh, I know he can.
I sure hope so. Mickey and I prayed for the guys every day, And our group of Christian friends prayed, too, just as hard as we did. And God began to show us what he wanted us to do with our lives. I finished my engineering program at SMU and applied to graduate schools back in the Chicago area. All three schools turned me down. I was beginning to feel that God wanted me to be a minister. And I promised him that if all three schools turned me down, I would take up Bible studies. Well, when the last of the three said no, because they'd lost my application and the deadline for applications had passed, I took that as God's way of telling me to head for Bible school.
Skip did, and then enrolled at Divinity School. He and Mickey are there today preparing to pastor or to teach in a Bible-believing church as God leads them. The three things Skip wanted most: acceptance, a sense of worth, and a feeling of competence God has given to him.
But our story isn't over yet. God had saved me, but Andy was still burning up on alcohol, and Jack and Kit were still lost in dope.
We'll hear more about the interwoven stories of these four friends. But until then, we want you to know that the same Lord who changed Skip Hurd, who brought him healing and wholeness and purpose in life, can change your life too. To learn more about it, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The phone number in Chicago, area 312, is 922-1462. If you listen in Europe, address Unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Write to us this week and tell us you hear the program. And join us again for another true story of a life unshackled. In the true story of Skip Hurd, you heard Roger Mueller as Skip, with Jack Bivens, Kim Rasmussen, Barry Stigler, and as Mickey Hurd, Mickey Hurd. Original music, Lucille Becker. The story was written by Mark Fackler as he received it from Mr. Hurd. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. Write to us this week. We appreciate your letters tremendously. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And while you're writing letters, you might also write a note to the manager of this radio station. When you do, just say, "Thanks very much for Unshackled." If you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462.